All right, let's begin this evening with prayer. Father, as we open up your precious book, I pray that you would lead us, guide our thoughts and our minds, and help us to understand what is written in your book. I do pray that you would bless everyone that is here, bless them with your presence and your peace, and teach us of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have, in the scriptures, in the book of John, Jesus says, I am the door. Does anybody understand the significance of a door? When you have a door, it is always to get into a place that is otherwise enclosed. You will never, ever be walking through a field and all of a sudden come to a door with pasture on either side. You will never see a door that stands alone. It is always in a wall, unless it's uninstalled. A door that is in use is always in a wall. It's always in a place that man might want to go from one side of the wall to the other side of the wall. And it is there as a measure of security. It keeps people out that might want to go in unless they have a right to go in. The only purpose for a door is admission. So when we see a door in real life, we're also going to see something with that door. Anytime that you're going to have a door, you're going to have a building or a wall that goes along with it. And when Jesus said, I am the door, he was the door into a place that there only was one door to. In the United States of America, we have a government who loves us so much, not quite as much as Jesus did, but they love us so much, they want to protect us all the time. And so they give us books full of regulations that help us take care of ourselves. Some of those regulations are good. One of the regulations that we will find as required in the United States is that any building that we build have more than one door. We want that so that in case of fire, the people who are inside the door, the inside the house, can get out. So in any house that you go to anywhere, you will find more than one door. Any building, any business that you go to, you will find multiple doors. And they'll be marked with exit signs over the top. It's required by law that those extra doors are there so that you can get out. But I'm here to tell you tonight that when we are talking about heaven, there is only one door. There is not two doors into heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. He is the only door. Now we're living in an age tonight where fallen Christianity believes that there are multiple doors into heaven. We're living in an age tonight where even in true Christian circles, people are confused. They are confused to death. They are so confused that they are talking right now. I'm talking about real Christians now. They are talking about all of the cults who have other doors into heaven. And they are saying that there are people saved in those denominations of devil worshipers. There's people saved in those denominations if they truly believe in Jesus. But Jesus is not one of multiple doors into heaven. He is the only door into heaven. You know what? They don't need a fire escape out of heaven either, because the Bible says that God is a fire. If you're going to get into heaven, you're going to be subjected to fire. Nothing in heaven can burn. Everything that exists in heaven is absolute and eternal. And there's no reason to ever worry about harm there. There's no fire escape from heaven. There's only one entry. It's recorded in the book of John in the 10th chapter. Jesus speaking says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Can you picture a man here in the darkness of the night when you are asleep, looking in your window? He's trying to figure out if he can get your window open. Now, the fact of the matter is, sometimes we can get through windows. But honest people use the door because they're supposed to be in there. People who are dishonest look to sneak in some other way because they can't get through the door. Now, if this man succeeds in getting through that window, he's going to get caught and he's going to get in trouble for it. And he's not going to get to stay in the house. Because only if he goes through the door is he welcome in the house. And many people try to find Jesus, and they try to find Christianity, and they try to find a hope for heaven by climbing up some other way. It's always a climb. It's always hard work. But there's no admittance. So Jesus says, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now as we go, we're going to go to the Old Testament tonight. As we go through the Old Testament, all the way through the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Malachi, we are looking at Jesus over and over and over and over and over again as we go through the Old Testament. Sometimes we're looking at a type, something that shows us a picture of what Jesus is going to look like when he comes. And other times we're reading a declaration of prophecy of this is who Jesus is going to be. But we're always reading about Jesus. We're going to look at three things that Jesus is pictured in the Old Testament: the Ark, the Passover, and the Tabernacle. Three things that have one thing in common, all three of them. The ark, the Passover, and the tabernacle. The ark is in Genesis chapter 6. And we read in the 14th verse, God speaking to Noah here, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in it a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." We have just 3 verses in the whole Bible that describe God's words to Noah about how to make the ark. And we know that this ark is a representation of salvation through Jesus Christ. The ark was God's way of preserving His people against His own judgment on the ungodly world. The ark is a picture of Jesus Christ and salvation. And in these 3 verses, the little smattering of things that God tells Noah about how to build this ark, there's one thing that we find worth mentioning in these 3 verses. It was supposed to have a door. It was supposed to have a door because it was a representation of Jesus, and Jesus was the door. There was only one way for Noah to be saved. It was through a door. Because there was a door that we're talking about when Jesus said, "I am the door." There was a door that hung on a cross and shed His own blood for the sins of the world. And it was by that means that Noah was going to escape the judgment of God. And so, God told Noah, "You're going to put a door in the side." You'll notice if you keep reading later on in the next chapter that it says that Noah went into the ark and his sons went in with him and his wives went in with him and the animals went in with him. And it says God shut him in. Noah built a door in the ark. But it was not a door that Noah had control over. It was not a door that Noah could open and go in and close behind him. Because this door was God. And when Noah went into the ark and God put His hand on the door and He shut the door, everybody who had stayed out of the door was under God's judgment. The same thing is happening again very soon on the earth. Where the door that right now stands open to the whole human race is going to shut. And when the door that God opened to the human race for salvation shuts, there's no more salvation. The only thing that's left is judgment. We see the same thing. We see the same thing in the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Just begin in the beginning. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall ye count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, and whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whatsoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. I think I'm reading further than I need to read tonight. I thought there was another part in here. No, I just have something written down wrong. Let's keep reading. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out, and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. The Passover is one of the most recognized types of Christ that we have in all of the Old Testament. They were to kill a lamb. And we know that Jesus is God's lamb, God's sacrifice for sin. We know that. And we know that this lamb that the children of Israel took into their houses and that they killed, we know that this lamb is a representation of the Savior who is to pay for the sins of the world. We know that. But why did God tell the children of Israel to take their blood, take the blood of the lamb that they had killed, and put it on the posts of the door? Because an angel was going to come down from heaven, and an angel was going to pass through the whole land of Egypt. An angel was going to go into the houses, and an angel was going to kill the firstborn in every house. Now I want you to remember something for a minute. I want you to remember that angels are built a little bit differently than man. They don't have the limitations that flesh and blood have. If an angel wants to get into this house, he does not open a door to come in. Okay, an angel did not need to go to the courthouse and look through the records to find out who was the firstborn in each family. The angel did not need to see the blood on the posts of the doors to know if there were Jews or Egyptians inside the house. The angel, as a messenger of God, has powers that are far beyond the creation of a human being. One single angel can do more than the entire world together. If an angel were to be an army of one and face the earth as an army of 7 billion, the angel would be the conqueror. But God said to the children of Israel that they were to put the blood on the posts of the door, and they were to go inside the door and stay there for the night. Because the door is Jesus Christ, who is not one way of peace and happiness, who is not one way to eternal life, but who is the only way to life. He stands alone as the only way to life. He is the door. Now, on what basis was God offering salvation to Israel from the judgment of God? On what basis was He offering them salvation? You notice here that He did not offer them salvation if they were a Jew. He did not offer them salvation if they were holy. In fact, as a matter of fact, we know for a certainty that the bulk of the people who walked out of Egypt that next morning, walked out of Egypt condemned sinners before God. They did not go to heaven because they did not believe in Jesus. But in showing to the people of Israel and to them and through them to the rest of the world, in showing to them His plan of salvation, He showed them on what basis He accepted people into His kingdom. It was through a doorway that had bled. That was the only basis. I want you to imagine tonight that you were an Egyptian. And Moses had been to Pharaoh in the 11th chapter of Exodus. And Moses had told Pharaoh, God is coming down to Egypt tonight. He's going to pass through the land. And He's coming into your houses and He's going to kill your firstborn. He had told Pharaoh that. Judgment after judgment after judgment after judgment had already passed through the land, and the people were all scared of God by this point. I want you to think of yourself as being an Egyptian. And you think, the news begins to spread that Moses has been to Pharaoh again. And that everybody's asking, what did Moses say this time? And the news starts spreading through the land. Somebody in your house is going to die tonight because Moses said that not a single house was going to be left untouched. But you know how the children of Israel are escaping this? The only thing that they're doing is putting blood on the posts of the door. I want you to imagine yourself as an Egyptian. And all of a sudden, you believe God. You believe what Moses said to Pharaoh. And you go get a lamb. You take that lamb and you kill that lamb and you take that blood. And you put that blood on the posts of your door. And you go inside that door. And now it's the middle of the night now, and the angel's coming through. And the angel's very smart. But he's obedient. And he obeys everything that God told him. And as the angel's walking through the land of Egypt, he's only looking for one thing. He doesn't care if the person inside is an Egyptian. He's looking for blood on the door. And I want you to stop and think about what happened in Egypt that night. There was a whole crowd of Egyptians, probably millions of them, that had gone inside doors. Some of them were poor and had little shanties, and they probably didn't have locks on their doors. And others of them were very rich. And perhaps we can go all the way up to Pharaoh's own household and look at his castle that he lived in with walls thicker than any house we build today, full of gold and silver, with soldiers with mighty swords standing at the doors guarding the palace. The doors of the place that Pharaoh lived in were potentially more expensive than any one of our houses. If you were to buy a door like Pharaoh had on his palace, you would probably pay as much for it as you have paid for your house. And it was locked. He was enclosed. He was in all the safety that any religion that has ever existed could offer any human being. He was in complete safety in his house. And he had an army of people at his disposal. But the angels didn't make any difference to the angels what kind of doors Pharaoh was behind. There was only one thing that mattered to the angels. Was there blood on the doorposts? And inside Pharaoh's house that night, the angel came in. And Pharaoh lost his oldest son. Because he didn't believe God. And among the children of Israel, the people who listened to God, they killed the lamb. And they put the blood on the doorposts. And after they put the blood on the doorpost, they went inside and they shut the door. And it got dark. And in the middle of the darkness of the night, when they didn't have electric street lamps burning, the angel starts coming through the cities. Nobody could see that blood. It was the stupidest thing any person had ever done. Trying to maintain safety with blood on the doorposts. But the angel saw the blood. And every house they came to, it didn't matter who was inside. It didn't matter if that person was right with God or wrong with God. It didn't matter if that person was 400 pounds overweight or if he was skinny and dying. It didn't matter if it was a man or a woman. It didn't matter if it was a baby or a 125-year-old man. It didn't matter who was in that house. If there was blood on the door, the angel went past. Jesus said, "I am the door." I am the door. There's no way of safety. There's no way of escaping the judgment of God except through the door. And the way to escape the judgment of God through the door is not difficult. It's not difficult at all. It's very, very simple. So simple, it is absolute folly to the world. We accept the blood of the Son of God and put our faith in it. We put our faith in blood that dripped out of a human being that lived or died 2,000 years ago. We put our faith in that. That blood that some man named Jesus lost 2,000 years ago when the soldiers crucified him on a cross, we put our hope of eternal life in. But Jesus said, I am the door. There's no other way. The third thing in the Old Testament that we see is the tabernacle. God gave Moses a pattern for the tabernacle. He gave Moses the complete pattern for the tabernacle. Everything that they did with the tabernacle in the Old Testament was a representation of salvation through Jesus Christ. Everything that they did. And can anybody tell me what was at the door of the tabernacle? The altar. The altar was at the door. Because nobody could make it into that tabernacle where a holy God lived without first the shedding of blood. Without first the blood of the sacrifice of God cleansing their souls. There was no entrance into the house of God. So the altar was at the door. I'm going to read you just one verse. Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus chapter 4. We'll just start in the beginning and read a few verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let them bring for his sin which he has sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. If you read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you will find this word, at the door, over and over and over and over. Throughout the Old Testament, throughout these books of the law, you will find those three words at the door over and over and over and over. Everything starts at the door. Everything starts at the door. It's where the sacrifice was made. It's where we accept Christ's forgiveness for our sins and walk into heaven. Walk into God's holy place, walk into God's presence as a holy person because of the door that we walk through, which is Jesus Christ. I am the door. Verse 9 of John chapter 10, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. We are living in an age today where Jesus, God's Son, is being trampled on. He is being rejected. He is being put down by the leaders of Christianity, by the teachers in our schools. In our Christian schools, He is being put down. He is being trampled on. And we are accepting other religions as other ways to heaven. But there's only one way. There's only one way. It is through the door. There's only one door. There's no other possibility. There is no other partially true. There is no other back door. There is no other part Jesus, part something else. There is nothing else anywhere that gets a person into heaven besides Jesus Christ. There's nothing else. There's no other belief system. You cannot get into heaven if you take Jesus' hand with one hand and Mary's hand with the other hand. The door is too narrow for that. You cannot get anything from God by praying to the myriads of saints that have lived in history. You cannot come to God through Peter. You cannot get to heaven because your dad was a godly man. You cannot get to heaven because your church was right. There's only one door, and it is extremely exclusive. It is exclusive to the point that it offends every person on earth, except those who are willing to humble themselves into the dust. Be willing to get down on their knees before God and say, I have nothing to offer you. I have nothing. I just want to get through that door. Can I just have that door? That's all there is. That's all we've got is that door. You know, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But I can tell you something. If He doesn't come back for 100 years, if this building stays standing here and there's still a church meeting here, the same church that we're members of right now, if there's still a church here, and it's our children's children who are meeting here, the people who sit here and the people who teach here will probably be teaching that there's other possible ways to heaven besides Jesus. Because this is what happens. This is what happens because it's too foolish for human beings to accept. When we are going to hold on to our own wisdom and Christianity, some of the things that Christianity teaches is too foolish. It doesn't reconcile with our own sense. And so we begin to downplay the things that God says. Now, if there's anybody here who loves Jesus Christ as your only hope for heaven, this is something that you will hold on to and that you will defend, no matter what it costs you, no matter where it takes you, no matter who you separate with, no matter who disagrees with you, no matter who sneers in your face, and no matter if you have to walk away from almost the entire Christian circles of our country today. you're going to have to hold on to this, because there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other door, no other name. There is no other sacrifice. There is no other righteousness. There is no other hope. And this hope is offered to the world on the very, very simple basis that you will forsake all else, that you will forsake your own plans, that you will forsake your own opinions, that you will forsake your own religion, that you will forsake your own gain, that you will forsake your own pride, that you will forsake everything that you were born with and that you attained to by yourself, and that you will walk through a door where you leave everything else behind. You will walk through a door where Jesus is now your all. That's all you've got left, is the door. There was a door in the ark that Noah went through. When Noah went through that door, Noah had in that ark with him what God told him to put in that ark. He left his house. He left his house to the floods. The floods destroyed Noah's house. He left his gardens to the flood. The floods destroyed Noah's gardens. In fact, Noah's garden is likely sitting under 75 feet of clay somewhere. Noah left his car to the flood. All the oil and the gas leaked out of it and polluted the oceans. He left his shovels and his hoes and his rakes and all the other things he had made. He left them to the flood. He left his town to the flood. He left his business to the flood. He left his community to the flood. And every person that Noah knew on earth, he left to the flood. Because when he went through the door, there was nobody else that was willing to go through that door with him. You have to forsake it all. And you have to just take the door. It's the last hope. When Noah went into that door of that ark, the sun was shining. There was nothing to worry about except a threat from an old man who had said it's going to rain. That was it. And you know, at the same time, there were a whole bunch of other people on earth that were inside a door. It was just as solid as the door that Noah had on his ark. But the rain came. And when the rain came, the door that Noah went through took care of him. And everybody else on earth died. There was also some people in the wilderness that were traveling from Egypt to Canaan. And they decided that the religion that God had given to Moses wasn't all there was to Christianity. They didn't say that Moses' religion was bad. They didn't say that the worship of God at the temple was bad. All they said was, "Has the Lord spoken only by Moses?" You see, when you pick up the Book of Mormon, it says on the front cover, another testament of Jesus Christ. Now, if the Mormons believe in Jesus Christ, are they going through the door? No, they're not. Because they have another testament of Jesus Christ other than the one God gave. Now, they believe in Jesus, you say. But the people that we found in the Old Testament who said, "Has the Lord spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us?" We find that they decided to do some religious activities that were near identical to the religious activities that God had given to Moses. But they died before the Lord because they rejected God's salvation. The path to heaven, Jesus said, is a narrow path. And the gate is a straight gate. That gate that leads to everlasting life is Jesus Christ Himself. And you don't get to bring your other religion with you. You don't get to decide that you're going to hold on to the things that you've gained in life and bring that to heaven with you and take Jesus as your fill-in for what you couldn't do. You don't get to make that choice because Jesus is the door. There's no other religion. There's no other truth. Let me tell you something, guys. You need to hold this as an absolute right now. If there's any church anywhere, if there's any family anywhere, if there's any people anywhere, if there's any preacher anywhere that walks with people and fellowships with people who have a loose standard of what Christianity is and what salvation is, you have absolutely nothing to do with those people, whether you believe them to be a Christian or not. You have absolutely nothing to do with those people. And you come out and you stand with people who are not afraid to stand up in the face of the entire world and look like a fool anytime, anywhere, holding on to the truth that God gave about salvation through Jesus Christ through the blood. Not afraid to stand up anytime, anywhere, and look like a fool because we believe such things. Jesus is the door.